Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Eddie Trunk Podcast, new every Thursday, podcast1.com and iTunes. Thanks to Mr. Mark Slaughter for our intro music as usual. Hope you guys had a great week and good to be here for another episode. I am live, and well, I shouldn't say live. Of course, it's a podcast, so it's recorded. But there's new podcasts that post every Thursday via podcast1.com and iTunes. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for streaming. Remember, when you do any shopping, do it at amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. That is the best way to do your shopping on Amazon. Why? Because it helps me out a little bit, to be honest with you. If you go to that page, you'll see some hand-picked items that I suggest, and you can go on to your shopping and do anything else you want on Amazon, but begin at amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. I would greatly appreciate you doing so. Just back from a few great days in the Dallas area, McKinney, Texas, to be exact. I want to thank everybody that came out to the Guitar Sanctuary, where I had a really, really great time. And did a speaking show that was incredibly well attended. So I thank everybody that came out. I have not done a speaking Q&A Stump the Trunk live show in quite a while. And I was a little apprehensive about it, to be honest with you, but it went incredibly well. So thank you. Thank you to my friend Brian Meter and everybody at the Guitar Sanctuary for making it happen. Did a couple radio broadcasts from there too, including a great interview with King Diamond. Had John Five stop by, and he did a show with me. And then I hosted intro John Five, I should say, at his show last Friday in Dallas at Trees. Really great run of stuff in the Dallas area, and I greatly appreciate it. Dallas is I may hate the football team because I'm a Giants fan, but I really like the area. Great people, great restaurants. Man, if you like Mexican food, there's a Mexican restaurant on like every corner in Dallas. And an In-N-Out Burger. Which is weird. Like, In-N-Out Burger is a thing, a West Coast thing, that people on the East Coast go crazy for when they get to the West Coast. I didn't know that In-N-Out came as far east as Dallas, but they have them all over the place there. So I thought that was kind of interesting as well. But great time. Hope to be back. Hope to do more stuff from Guitar Sanctuary. Did I say Guitar Center before? I always make that slip up. Guitar Sanctuary, if I said Guitar Center, I did not mean that. Guitar Sanctuary in McKinney. It was great to spend time with King Diamond. I'll bring you that interview here on the podcast maybe as soon as next week if you missed it or if you don't have Sirius XM or if you listen outside of the U.S. or Canada. As I mention all the time, if you do listen and you are based in the U.S. or Canada, greatly appreciate if you got on board with us on the Sirius XM side where I do a live radio show every single day, talking music, taking calls, doing interviews on Channel 106 Volume. And that is where the interviews you hear on the podcast originate from. So you get a little tiny taste of what I do on a daily basis over on Sirius XM here one time a week on the podcast. But come on board and join us. I'll tell you for a couple, for what, and I don't ever really do this. I don't ever really push people to do something or tell them how to spend their money. But the truth of the matter really is, that for the cost of a couple Starbucks, you could have a month of entertainment of about 140 channels of music and talk. And of course, my show six times a week live on Sirius XM. So hope you come on board. If not, like I said, you'll get a little taste here on the podcast every week of what I'm doing over there via the interviews that I bring to you, including this week's interview coming up in a few minutes with David Coverdale. Few things to address here at the top. First of all, I got an interesting email, and I do get emails. I do read all the emails that come in from you guys, and I do appreciate all the emails that come in. You can email me through my website. It's eddie@eddietrunk.com, the direct email address. And as I always say, my website is not just about me. There are a ton of music news entries on there that have been done for years by a woman by the name of Dana Rosen, who compiles music news and posts it in one convenient place. So have a look for that. The Trunk Report is my blog. You can see all my appearances right on the homepage of the website, and you can see upcoming events and just tons of stuff. There's a merch store, signed copies of my books. This week, I want to thank Goody's Headache Powder for bringing me new Trunk Nation stickers. And I'm going to be giving these out at various appearances. My next one will be this Saturday in Milwaukee at the Pottawatomie Casino, where I'll be hosting Saxon and Black Star Riders at the Northern Lights Theater. That's this Saturday, April 7th. And then from there, I'm going to Cleveland. I'll be broadcasting from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum on the morning of the 13th, and then the afternoon flying to Tulsa to host LA Guns at the IDL Ballroom, doing some broadcasts after that from Tulsa. And then I'm going to Houston on April 22nd to host Tom Kiefer at the Proof Rooftop Lounge. Just announced, if you're in the Houston area on the 23rd, come on out for a live broadcast. I'm going to be doing my volume show on Monday, the 23rd of April, live from White Oak Music Hall in Houston, totally free, and it's 1 to 3 p.m. So please come by, 1 to 3 p.m. Central Time in Houston. Come by and join the broadcast, totally free. Watch Trunk Nation live from the White Oak Music Hall on April 23rd. Then, of course, Merriweather Post Pavilion for M3, May 4 and 5. Ride for Ronnie Dio Cancer Fund event, May 6th in Encino, California. Rocklahoma, May 25 and 26 and 27. Pryor, Oklahoma, May 30th, Striper in Tulsa. Just added June 9th, I'm in Cincinnati at the venue for a speaking show. And this has just been announced, too. It's not till November, but you want to plan on this if you're up for it. Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, the Breathless Resort, 80s in the Sand, featuring a bunch of 80s music acts. Wow, that's going to be fun. All information on all of this stuff on the homepage of eddietrunk.com. Now, I was mentioning the emails that I get through the site, one of which came through, and it was a guy that said, you know, and listen, I appreciate all criticism, and I try to read everything even if I can't get back to it. And he said, I listen to your podcast every week, and sometimes if I don't want to hear the interview that you have, I just listen to the open to hear what you have to say, and then I stop it and don't listen to the interview if I don't care about who you're interviewing. Fair enough. I understand you're not going to want to hear from every guest that we have every week. I try to bring you variety. I get that. But he goes, you know, now you're just kind of running down your appearances and not doing as much at the front of it, and you should be talking more about other things. Well, here's the deal. First of all, as I just mentioned, I am currently doing 6 live music talk shows, rock talk shows, on Sirius XM every week. All I do 6 times a week live on Sirius XM radio is talk about, dissect, debate, analyze, discuss things that go on in rock music. So there it's live and it's a two-way street and the callers can drive the conversation a little bit. So it's a little different. So yeah, when I get to the podcast, I usually like to get right to the interview a little bit more because I don't know what you guys want me to talk about. I mean, I could sit here and talk about what, AC/DC, and if they're really going to do something and if Axl's really going to sing with them. I don't know. Now, if we are a two-way street like my live radio show, we can debate this and we can take your calls about it. or, you know, if Van Halen's ever going to do anything, or what's going on with Guns N' Roses, or what's going on with Kiss, and all the usual stuff that I get hit with. And I love talking about all of it, don't get me wrong, but it just seems, I guess, to me, a bit redundant to do it here when I do it six times a week on satellite radio. And I get, if you're not a subscriber to my radio show, you don't hear that, or if you live out of the U.S. and Canada and you can't be a subscriber. So I'll try to do a little bit more at the top. I appreciate feedback. I just, you know, unless it's a really hot button thing that I have some real information about, I'm not sure what direction I want to take or what I would say. You know, like I can tell you now, I'm recording this open on a Tuesday, the third day of April. And there's a discussion today about Paul Stanley finally planning to show up at a Gene Simmons vault thing in Vegas. The story about Rat and if Warren Demartini is really out and what the hell is going on there. So there's a lot to debate and discuss. But I don't know, you know, without a two-way street, what you want me to say about it, because some of it's just speculation. Some of it's not officially announced. Some of it is just hypotheticals at this point. But I can talk to you guys a little bit more about some of the things that I've going on. A lot of times, too, my interviews are quite long, so there is a bit of a time constraint in podcasts. Not a hard time constraint, but a bit of a time constraint. And then for all the times that I do a bunch of stuff at the top of the podcast, I get just as many emails from people saying, just get to the interview. So you can't win. You cannot win. But trust me, if there is a hot button topic and something that I really want to dig into or spout off about, I will indeed do it at the top of this podcast each and every week. And there you go. So anyway, you got the rundown on my appearances, and I am looking forward to getting out there. I thank everybody again who came out to Dallas, and I want to get into our now I want to get into our interview this week, which is with David Coverdale. Now, what's interesting about this interview is the fact that David Coverdale, for the last couple years, and you'll hear him talk about a new Whitesnake record and all that, some interesting stuff about Coverdale Page in here as well. But David Coverdale has been really working the whole Deep Purple end of things. You know, his history in Deep Purple. He did an album of Deep Purple remakes. He's got a live record and DVD of Deep Purple songs done live. So he's really been sort of celebrating his history in Deep Purple, which was three albums. During that time, Glenn Hughes was also in the band. David Coverdale and Glenn Hughes, by all accounts, are friends. Well, speaking of topical things at the top of the show, it was just announced that Glenn Hughes is going to go out and do a show celebrating Deep Purple, which will be great, and Glenn can sing remarkably well. So it should be really, really very cool. But it got me thinking, wait a minute, Coverdale and Hughes are friends? Why the hell didn't they go out and do this together? That would have been really cool. So it didn't seem like they meshed their schedules or thought about that, but that would have been really cool if it happened. Anyway, that was just announced that Glenn Hughes is going to go out and do a Deep Purple run of shows, not with Deep Purple, of course. It was also announced recently, Ritchie Blackmore, speaking of Deep Purple, who has now stuck his toe back in the rock waters again, recently revealing that Glenn Hughes was offered the job playing bass in Rainbow, but when Glenn found out he also was not going to be the singer, declined. That's interesting. The interview you're about to hear with David Coverdale, we cover a lot of things, including this new Whitesnake playing Deep Purple live CD, Coverdale Page, and the upcoming Whitesnake record. And also, David reveals he was quite sick recently. Thankfully, he's okay now. David Coverdale, always very entertaining. I've known him for a very long time, done many, many interviews with him over the years on radio and TV, and it is great to have him on this week's Eddie Trunk podcast, and that'll come up in just a second. One other thing I want to address. You want some content at the top? Here's another thing. I am constantly inundated with people who ask me about That Metal Show. And as I've said a million times, I greatly appreciate people asking me about That Metal Show. I do not control that metal show. I do not own that metal show. I have nothing to do with whether that metal show comes back or not. The one thing that needs to happen for that metal show to come back is extremely simple to explain, very hard for people to understand. But it is very simple what needs to happen. A TV network has to want to do the show. That's it. Think about that for a second. Before you start barraging me with emails and tweets saying, hey, what about Netflix? What about Access TV? What about HBO? What about this? What about that? Of course, we would welcome all of that. The outlets that we are asked about daily have to want to do it. It's a two-way street, folks. Cannot just walk in and place a show on one of those outlets. So I bring this up because, and my partners, Don and Jim, you got to understand something if you haven't figured it out already. They're stand-up comics. They love to stir the pot. They love to bust balls. So every once in a while, they post things on social media to get people talking and say silly things to get people excited and make things up. So I'm giving it to you straight. There's no movement on the show. We have tried almost every network you could throw at us. There are people that say now, well, just put it on YouTube. That's not that easy either. It costs money to produce the show. We do not own that metal show. None of us do. It is controlled by our previous producer. We are in good terms with him. He is responsible for finding a new home for it. So if he finds a new home, all of us will do it again immediately and want to, but it's out of our hands. Nobody, I assure you, nobody wants that metal show back on the air more than me. But at the same token, I can't stop my life because of it. And I must stress, what I am saying is not coming to you at all from a position of resentment or anger or anything. It is a bit frustrating because most 99% of fans have no idea how TV works. They just know that it was a show they loved and they want to see it again and it should be on TV. Great, I appreciate that. I want it on TV as well. But when you go to a network executive who makes the call, who is not a rock fan, and you try to explain to them the value of a rock talk show, they look at you like you're speaking another language. That's the problem. You get outside of the bubble that we are in as rock junkies, you get into the real world, in the mainstream world, and they don't quite understand what you're talking about. Now, you and I both know there's a tremendous upside for this show. I know there's a tremendous audience for this show. I know that the show could bring a tremendous kick to a network. But it doesn't matter that I think that. It doesn't matter that you think that. The person who runs that network has to think that and think it's worth doing. So I know I've talked about this, but I just need to put it out there again because, and I'm grateful for this. Don't get me wrong. I'm grateful for this. Everywhere I go, I am asked still about that metal show. It was my baby, folks. I want it back more than anybody. But it's out of my hands. And if it comes back, I'll do it tomorrow. Somebody sent me a tweet. You're not doing anything. How come you're not doing anything anyway? Why don't you get the show on the air? I took exception to that one. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I'm not doing anything. I'm doing 8 radio broadcasts a week, 6 live, and in the middle of finishing the first season of a brand new TV show I do have coming to Access TV called Trunk Fest that's going to premiere on July 1st at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Access TV. And that's the other thing. Well, why don't you get it on Access TV if you have a new show there? Because I don't own Access TV. I don't make that decision. Do you not think that I asked more than once? So, I mean, I don't know what else to say anymore, but thank you for caring. Truly, thank you for caring. And if there's a future for the show, we are all in immediately. But I simply don't know the answer right now. And what we need is somebody at a high level at a TV network that understands, gets it, and wants to be a part of this and grow this show and give it an opportunity. We'll see. But again, seriously, thank you for caring. I really do appreciate it. It just gets frustrating. And then a bunch of other fans will be like, how come you have to keep talking about that? Well, you know, they're like, aren't you tired of talking about it? Yeah. But people keep asking. And I appreciate them caring. All right, let's get to David Coverdale, who has been on That Metal Show many times. And we look forward to speaking to him. And we're going to talk to him. I'm going to talk to him in just a second. And you'll hear him discuss all sorts of stuff, as previously mentioned. He's my guest this week on the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey, if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP, and you might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. How cool is that? True Car dealers, they will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
What's it like for you watching games of your son coaching?
Agonizing.
It's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
You know, I didn't know there was actual work here.
Recent guests include Rich Eisen, John Harbaugh, Judge Judy, and John Madden.
I thought one of the greatest jobs in coaching in the NFL was Jim's first year with the 49ers.
Exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get episodes every Tuesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Great time to be a Wolverine.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
All right, let's get into it right now on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast. From my SiriusXM volume show, it is David Coverdale. Take it away, DC. How are you, my friend?
Edward, it's nap time. What the hell?
Is this when we have a spot of tea? Is this when we have a spot of tea and a little massage? Is that what goes on in the Coverdale world?
It's nap time when you get to my age. Come on, I've worked hard enough. And I'd like compliments to you and my belated congratulations to your aunt. I hope she enjoyed her Whitesnake Zinfandel.
Yes, I texted you and posted on my social media a photo because we had an 88th birthday for my aunt, who is like another mother to me, on the weekend, a big family gathering. And my wife said, well, we need to bring some wine. And it was one of those bring your own restaurants. And I said, my goodness, my 88-year-old aunt would just love some Whitesnake wine.
Oh, my God. Such an honor. Such a treasure. I hope.
And I'll tell you what, DC, it got rave reviews from my largely Italian family. It really is great stuff.
I grovel in appreciation, Edward.
Eduardo, are you still doing it?
I keep forgetting you're Italian. Where the hell's Trunk from? That's not Italian.
No, that's my dad, and he's German, so I'm half and half. My mom's name is Artolino.
Yeah.
Are you still doing the wine?
Darling. You know what? I don't know what I've done, but the guy I work with, Dennis De La Montagna, has just bought a house like 5 minutes from my studio. So he keeps leaving cases of wine. For Cindy only, do not touch. DC, hands off. So, yeah, we'll probably do some more. I'd actually love to do some whiskey, to be honest.
Really?
I mean, oh, God, Whitesnake whiskey and Whitesnake weed.
Well, that would also be pretty. Is weed legal yet by you where you live?
It is totally legal, Edward. At last, Nevada can pay for some infrastructure.
Oh, because you're in Nevada. So do you partake in that, David? Do you still?
Darling, I need to get Japanese visas. Don't expect me to be too honest.
Well, you live in an area, it's legal, it's fully legal, so I figured you could say.
That's for me to know and you to wonder.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to Whitesnake weed and Whitesnake, whiskey?
Whitesnake whiskey, yes.
That's kind of my
sipping, you know, I'm in love with the renaissance of Irish whiskey for many years now, the Middletons and Redbreasts, 21-year-old, 26-year-old. I sound like a pervert. No, the 26 years old. Sound like a pedophile, for God's sakes. Oh, Lord.
No, you were over 18, so you were good.
Oh, yes. I'm well over 18, Angel.
So tell me what's going on. I want to talk about the live record in a second, but, you know, I saw Michael Devin not too long ago. We were on a cruise together, and he said work is progressing nicely on a new Whitesnake record, right?
Oh, my God, Edward. We did like 5 or 6 projects last year. Michael, isn't he a doll, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I've just had all the guys in. They flew in Friday night. We shot the new Whitesnake video Saturday, and everybody flew out straight after. But we had a dinner where my sides were splitting. It was amazing. A lot of the guys, this album's been a bit of a jigsaw because everybody was working, a musical jigsaw. So, like, Tommy had only sort of worked to the demos that Joel, Rev and I had put together. And so he was hearing, like, by walking into Picasso's studio, you know, before he starts painting. And the next time you go back, he's got his exhibit there, you know. Everyone was thrilled with what they were hearing. We had a great reunion. And then everyone was off. And then I think we're going to hook up beginning of June in Los Angeles to rehearse for the Foreigner run in the U.S. Last year, we had the 37th anniversary. That was hugely successful. I think you got one, I hope, Edward.
Yeah, it's amazing, yeah.
And we were supposed to release the Purple Live DVD, the Purple Tour Live, for Christmas, but we had some technical issues, and that came out in January. Both of those albums, believe it or not, went top 5 in most countries around the world. It was extraordinary time. So we had Joel coming in while he was working with Cher. He was like 50 minutes away in Vegas. So he'd do 3 nights, I think, with Cher, and then have 3 days off. He'd fly in and do some additional guitar for me. I don't know whether you remember. It was never released in the U.S. It was an album of mine called Restless Heart.
Mm-hmm.
So he did some amazing guitar on there. Derek Sherinian put amazing organ. It's like a fabulous hybrid of Deep Purple and white early Whitesnake. I don't know when the hell we're going to get that out. This year we have, of course, Summer will be the on Frontiers will be the Flesh and Blood, the Foreigner tour. We have the Slided In Deluxe reissue in fall, and for Christmas we got Whitesnake Unzipped, Acoustic Journeys Through the Years, and I'm really excited about that. So there's no rest for the wicked.
Weren't you talking about slowing down and maybe retiring a couple years ago? What the hell's going on there, man?
These guys I work with think I'm 30, for Christ's sake. You know, double it and add a few more digits.
But you're still having fun and you're still creating. You're still having a blast, I mean, and you love the guys you're doing it with. That's important, right?
Completely and utterly. And it's that's my inspiration. And of course, being on social media with such incredible positive support and encouragement is completely and utterly motivating. Yeah, you know, these guys, I swear to God, you know, Tommy and I celebrated 30 years last year together. I mean, he just came in. We were, you know, we were obviously jamming to the track we've recorded for the video, but he was playing. These guys are monster of a player.
It's so inspiring.
Yeah, so inspiring. This is, I think, going to be the best Whitesnake album. And I know that's cliched stuff, but I know what I'm talking about. I should do after almost 50 years.
So is it done? The album of all new material is done?
We're in the mix now. I got that horrible H3 flu, Edward, which took me out for, I think, about 6 weeks.
Oh.
Before I started to feel, you know, like myself again.
It was horrifying.
Yeah, it was. It was a killer, you know. That I don't know what the full thing is, but it was that strain of flu that the anti-flu vaccination didn't cover. It was evil,
I see.
Just evil, evil, evil strain of flu.
So this video that you just shot, is it for a song on the upcoming new record?
Oh, of course, yeah.
So you're going to get a song and a video out soon of something brand new.
I imagine so. I would imagine so. I've got a few more external shots other than the band stuff to feature some really fun elements. You know, we had the Burn video, which Christmas Day, talk about how I'm dreaming of a Whitesnake Christmas, like the darkest, gloomiest, you know, destruction of Atlantis when we did the Burn video. And this is like absolute, almost Lightsnake, but it's a kick-ass song. You're going to love it. But it's going to be some real fun elements, paying respect and a nod to Whitesnake's past, but certainly not as dark and as gritty as the Burn video. This is because you know yourself, you've seen Whitesnake a bunch of times. It's very much a party scenario with audience involvement and stuff. So, you know, that's pretty cool.
But I think what's really cool about what you're doing, David, is you're celebrating your past, which is an amazing past. But at the same time, you're still creating new stuff. You've got one foot going forward, and then you're still, of course, giving a nod to some of the things in the past. So it's really like the best of both worlds.
Well, this is interesting. You know, the guys, after we'd had dinner, we came back to the studio and were playing, you know, a couple of MP3s of the songs and, you know, where they were. And they're very, very listenable. Everyone's just so supportive of each other, going, man, what a Joel and Reb, great solo, man, you know, all of this stuff. It was just really positive, rather than guys who just listen to their own thing and go, I'm not loud enough. You know, it was incredibly positive. And the way I was describing it to the guys is that this has all the necessary Whitesnake elements that I need to call it Whitesnake, you know, but with a vibrant, fresh coat of paint. It's the songs are, you know, this is the first time Joel and I have written together. It's the first time in all these years that the longest standing member of Whitesnake, Red Beach, we've never written together until this project. So it's a family affair. It really is cool. I'm very excited for people to hear it.
Well, it sounds like we'll be getting something, at least a song to hear from it soon. So looking forward to that. And before I ask you some stuff about the Purple Live record, you mentioned the tour coming up with Foreigner. Do you have history with those guys? Do you go back with Mick Jones or anything?
Obviously. Yeah, well, the drummer, Christopher, you know, worked with me on the Good to Be Bad album. Beautiful guy. And of Michael Jones, of course, I've known for forever. We certainly wouldn't own up to how many years we've known each other. But I'd heard of Mick, you know, when he was working with Johnny Halliday, God rest his soul. Just a fan, admirer. I knew Lou, you know, the old guy, the guys, you know, in the original band.
Lou might come out. They're saying Lou might come out. He's been popping out at some shows and doing a couple of songs, so you may see him out there.
That would be lovely to see. I haven't seen him for years, for many, many years. And what a lovely guy and a great singer. Jason, I've known since he was a kid, an infant. You know, I was very close with his dad, Bonzo, the extraordinary John Bonham. And it's interesting. We were doing a sound check I don't know, a lifetime ago. I'm standing with Jeff Beck. This is like the early Whitesnake. We're at, in those days, it was the Hammersmith Odeon doing a sound check, and I'm standing with my tour manager, and Jeff Beck, and Jason comes in. I'm going, oh, my God, you got long pants on, you know, which was wonderful. He was 17, and he said, can I jam? And I rarely let people jam at the Snakes, and unless they're ex-Snakes, you know. And I went, right. hang on. And I went up, and Pacey was with me at the time, Ian Pace. I said, would you mind if Johnson jam? He went, no, you know, come on. And I swear to God, I'm standing with Beck and my tour manager, who knew Bonzo very, very well. He worked with Zeppelin. And we played Ready and Willing. I swear to God, Edward, I closed my eyes, and it was like Bonzo was playing.
Yeah.
Jason, the soul of John Bonham is in his son.
Yeah.
He is. So John was unique. We all know that.
Of course, yeah.
What he brought, one of the aspects of Zeppelin, which is extraordinary. Like John Lord's left hand was an enormous, on the organ, was one of the primary components of Deep Purple's sonic identity. Bonzo, I mean, Jesus, what couldn't you build on top of those drum patterns, you know?
Right.
Glorious. But Jason, as I say, and that's, it was, you know, we were all just standing ovation. He was amazing. So I'm really looking forward to reconnecting. You know, we send each other dirty texts now and again, but but yeah, it's going to be a family affair, I think, and people are in for a treat. You know, I don't know how many, with being a special guest for the guy for Foreigner, I don't know how many new songs I can squeeze in, because I think it's going to be almost like a greatest hits thing with Jason doing Zeppelin stuff,
sure,
and Foreigner, of course. You know, an hour and a half of solid hits. You know. So, and people will hopefully will be hoarse and exhausted by the end of the show. I think I'll be. But yes,
hey, you know,
you're saying you're slowing down. I'm thinking of getting electric rollerblades, man. You know, it's just honest to God. And it's not me. It's like I work with Warners, which is the third time in my career and third time a charm of doing great. The two projects we've had together, the 87 project and the Purple DVD. And I'm working, as you know, with the fabulous Frontiers, Serafino, Mario. And they've been so supportive through my illness, you know, that, you know, we had to send a legal letter saying force majeure, which because of illness, that flu, there's no way I could go. You know, it was incredibly a devastating flu, and a lot of people lost their lives, you know, and thank God I was in shape to be able to fight it off, but it took some time. But
now 6 weeks, that's unbelievable.
That yeah,
well, six
yeah,
weeks
part of that was just the recovering. It kicked my ass.
Yeah,
I mean, you fall over at my age, mate, it's not a giggle, it's like, oh my God, you're shaken out of your aura.
My goodness, a little warmed up Whitesnake wine would have set you right, I'm sure, David.
Oh, totally. Well, actually, the Irish whiskey helped.
Yeah, I'm sure. Hey, can you?
Although
can
white
you?
Snake wine, I'm assured, has healing properties. But there you go.
I want to talk to you a little bit in detail about this the album, the Purple Tour, that's come out. It's a live record that has come out to celebrate that. It came out recently. Can you give me a few more minutes so we can talk about this record
you
a little
got
bit?
It, babe. Absolute, my pleasure,
David. I know for you, going out and doing that run, playing your past with Deep Purple was something that was very, very special, and this is a great document of it. Talk a little bit about how it came about that you decided that was the right time in your career to go out and sort of address all the Purple stuff.
Well, it was all related to a phone call from John Lord in 2012, Edward, if you remember our conversation. Well, several conversations before, John had said to me that he'd been diagnosed with a particularly aggressive cancer, which was just horrifying to hear. John was and remains in spirit an immense inspiration, mentor, raconteur, just a beautiful man. One of the reasons I actually got the gig, I think, with Deep Purple was John talking to me as just as a... In the most welcoming, hospitable fashion. I have such gratitude for him. It's almost indescribable. So when he called me and told me about this, it was obviously a tearful exchange. But he said he was determined to kick it. And would I, and after that, would I be prepared to do something purple related with him? Of course, I wasn't going to say no, Edward, you know. So it was, of course, I'll do that, you know. And I thought I could put Whitesnake on hold for 6 months or whatever to a year. You know, one of John's dreams was to have all the former members of Deep Purple who were still alive to do a performance together, like a charity show, which I'd told him I was there for him. So, you know, I started listening to the Purple albums. I'm not usually, you know, I don't usually go back. And I was going, oh, my God, these are terrific. You know, the Burn and Stormbringer and Come Taste the Band. Sadly, as we know, John passed away. And around the same time, a very small window of time, my wife lost her brother Daniel, and I lost my beloved Aunt Sylvia, who for 50 years, every conversation we ever had had involved music. So these were devastating blows. And I was trying to think, what am I supposed to learn from this? And the bonus, if I can say that, with John is that I'd had plenty of opportunities to tell John how much I loved him, admired him, appreciated him in the times we worked together. Because he, as you know, not only did I work with him in Deep Purple, but he joined me in Whitesnake. So I thought for me, it was really important before I lost anyone else to reach out to people I hadn't been in touch with, not necessarily in the music business, but just, you know, people from that I hadn't spoken to for decades. And I reconnected with so many people. And then it occurred to me, the person I really should call was Richie Blackmore, because he and John formed Deep Purple. And as you can testify, there was many, many decades of Richie and I being very unsavory about each other. There was a big competition between Whitesnake and Rainbow until, you know, the Whitesnake 87 album, which made competitions just ridiculous. So I got in, I had Candice email, and I emailed her very respectfully and introduced myself to express
Richie's wife. For people that don't know, yes. Richie's wife, so we should tell people, yeah.
Yeah, forgive me, Candice Knight, yeah, Knight Blackmore, however she goes. However, the response that came back was, who are you and how did you get this email?
Really?
Which would have been mine. Oh, yeah. Of course, out of the blue. I'd never met Candice, and suddenly she gets his email. And I think Richie was as devastated as I was. And I said, look, let me give you these names of mutual acquaintances. We used to have the same driver in Europe, a guy called Sasha, you know. So she said, oh, I'm so, you know, so she got in touch with people, found out I was legit, and then came back, said, I'm so sorry, David. The next person you hear from will be Richie. And we reconnected, and he was extremely complimentary that with how what I'd achieved with Whitesnake, which was amazing coming from one of my original mentors, you know. I had no intention. There was a rumor went around the internet that Glenn Hughes and I have been trying to do this for years. That's absolute bullshit, internet viral nonsense. This all was fueled from the loss of John Lord. And when I reached out to Richie, it wasn't anything to do with doing a project. That came later in our conversations. As you can testify, I am totally happy with the guys I'm working with, and I'm completely and utterly happy with Whitesnake. You know, so there's
so
no,
there was nothing. There was nothing to the rumor of trying to do a Mark III reunion.
Well, no. But Richie asked me if I'd speak to his manager, Carol. And I said, of course. And she said, would you be interested in doing a reunion thing? I said, well, how long would it take? What are you looking at? If it's an album, I don't think I can take that kind of time off. But I can do a, you know, a three-month tour or something like that. Who would you put on keyboards? I said, Keith Emerson, God rest his soul. I think Purple fans and John Lord fans would have accepted Keith. And then the question was, which Roger or Glenn? And I said, well, Glenn's my soul brother. It'd have to be Glenn, you know. That's as far as we got. And I said, I don't think Pacey will want to do it because he's tied up with Purple, you know, Deep Purple. Mm-hmm. So I'd recommended Tommy, of course, who is a monster, you know. But I really, that wasn't my intent at all. So while all this was going on, from the John Lord call to the Richie things, I'm looking at contemporizing some of these songs. Over 40 years old, I think. I joined Purple, 45 years ago? Jesus. I'm thinking, I wonder if, you know, I hope Rich will be up for contemporizing stuff. So I'd actually started just messing around with ideas. And when I withdrew from all of this stuff, I'm going, no, I don't, I really, you know, I had all the bells ringing that it wasn't right and I should stick with the Snakes. And Cindy, my wife, and I were out for dinner. I said, well, I've done all this work. And she said, well, why don't you do it as a like a salute, a tribute to John, you know, and under the Whitesnake banner? And I went, oh. I spoke to my band. They were all down for it. And Frontiers loved the idea. They're huge Purple fans. And that's how it came about. It did extraordinarily well and fueled a tour, you know.
Do you think that in some ways, and I'm just hitting me, that you reconnecting with Richie Blackmore, even though it didn't result in anything, but you reconnecting with him?
Oh, it did. It did. It did, actually. It reconnected us, apart from that awful energy that existed with us for almost 30 years, Edward. You know, that's a gift to me.
Sure.
A gift, you know?
Sure. Yes, for you personally, but I'm wondering, you know, because for a long time, he shunned his whole history as a rock artist and wouldn't play Rainbow, wouldn't play Deep Purple, wouldn't even talk about it. And it seems like shortly after that, he is now doing Rainbow and he is playing rock again. I'm wondering if you kind of got his juices flowing.
Well, I don't know. You know, I do know that through my social media, people have often said how sad it is. I mean, Richie is such an inspiration to people like Edward Van Halen, for God's sakes. You know, an amazing electric musician. But I can fully understand he's doing what he loves because I'm doing what I love. You know, it's but the fact I think there was it I got him thinking again about maybe doing some electric playing again. And I'm delighted, I think, for two consecutive years. He hasn't done a lot of stuff, but, you know, he's back to delighting, you know, thousands of people in concert playing electric again. He's an astonishing musician. But I totally honor him for doing what he loves.
Are you still in? Have you talked to him again since all of this? Are you still on a regular contact with him or no?
No, I can't. Are you kidding? I did 6 projects last year. I had to connect with my wife. Well, and I'm so busy Twittering.
Yes, you're great. I love your Twitter feed. Everybody should follow David for sure. You know, one other guy I want to ask you about that you worked with, because we've talked about this before. You've worked with just unbelievable guitar players throughout your entire career,
and
Blackmore included.
All of them. Edward, don't make that terrible mistake most people do. I've worked with great drummers, great bass players, great keyboard players.
Of course.
Too. It's astonishing. But I think primarily people look at the astonishing array of 6 and 7 string sorcerers that I've had the pleasure of working with.
But I want to ask you, we talked about Jason Bonham and John Bonham a little while ago. I want to ask you about your friend who you did a record with, of course, Coverdale Page and Jimmy Page.
Uh-huh.
You know, he seems like, you know, we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of Zeppelin. For years, he's been threatening he's going to do a solo album. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. But it never really happens. I think it's time for you. Now, I know you got a lot on your plate, but I think it's time for you to get it on the phone with Jimmy Page. And let's go do Coverdale Page 2 and get that guy playing some guitar again, man.
It's time, brother. It's Edward, it's time, you know. When I decide to do, you know, before I committed to make a new studio record, with all the fun and games that Reb and I have had, he's the longest surviving member, of Whitesnake at 15 years, you know, but we'd never sat down to write together, you know. So I said to Michael, my co-producer, I'm not going to commit to anything until I sit down with Reb and Joel. And Michael had a super idea of Michael Devin, a song called Mojo Man, which we didn't get to finish, unfortunately, but a super tune. But just sitting down with Reb and Joel was just a breath of fresh air. We've got, I think, potentially a huge Whitesnake record. Whether or not it's the last studio record or not, I do not know. But I can tell you, I'm inordinately proud of it. I had 6 weeks away, disconnected from the project because of illness, and reconnecting with it, I'm going, oh my God. And the guys, as I say, were in at the weekend, and they're all blown away. It's going to be a project for each member of Whitesnake to be proud of. I don't have time. I've been saying to Jimmy for years he should do something like Carlos did with Supernatural. I said, I'll be there. I'll do a couple of songs with you. Absolutely. He, you know, he's got the ideas. It's just a different world, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, I don't think Robert's been overgenerous. He's happy doing his thing. I mean, I can understand that because I share that kind of joy with my band, you know. My heart goes out to him. Pagey's one of the most influential, inspirational, beautiful musicians on the planet that God gifted us. You know, I would do anything to assist Jimmy doing a project or whatever. But my commitment is to my guys.
Yeah, no, I totally yeah. understand that. But that Coverdale Page record was so good, and there's so many people that you just it seems like Jimmy just kind of, and I don't know the man, but just from an outsider's perspective as a fan, it just seems like he needs a solid wingman pushing him and pushing, you know, getting him to create.
I will tell you this, and this is also down to timing. Last year, prior to Christmas, I hosted all my Warner's guys, the new people I'm working with, the new team, flew up from L.A. to Reno, where Hook City, the Whitesnake studio, is. You know, we spent the day together, you know, discussing plans and ideas. And the president said, not the president of the United States, said, how would you think about revisiting the Coverdale Page album? And I said, what, remixing? And because initially, prior to me getting ill, we were supposed to deliver the Flesh and Blood studio record to Frontiers by the end of February in order to get it out May, June, to coincide with the Foreigner one. And of course, my illness kicked it off the table. But at that time, I thought March, April, May, Jimmy and I could remix it. And mix the unreleased songs that we had, because we had four or five extra songs. At the same time, Edward, you're talking about synchronicity or good planning on the part of Warner's. The president of Warner's UK was entertaining Jimmy at dinner or lunch and said, hey, how would you fancy revisiting the Coverdale Page project? And he went, I'll call David right now. And I'd said to this guy, I'll call Jimmy right now. It was the funniest shit. But so we'll definitely, when we can, when we both have the time, we will be remixing and adding. I mean, I filmed the whole process from the moment the first day Jimmy and I sat down to write music at my house at Lake Tahoe. So there's enough stuff to make it a really interesting package for the fans, you know.
But so we get a special edition.
Don't be inundating me with when. I don't know. You know, when I have time.
All right. I know you got a lot on your plate.
But Edward, really, right now, I'm in my office. I have a video editing room, which is also audio. So we're putting together the big bumper edition of Slide It In for fall release, I think it is, with similar to the package of the 87 stuff with unreleased mixes and demos and stuff. We have, for Christmas, Whitesnake Unzipped, Acoustic Journeys Through the Years, which will tie in with a remastered Remix 5.1, Starkers in Tokyo with Adrian, stuff I did with Doug Aldridge. We might be trying to do some filming with Reb and I to bring it more up to date. But that features, you know, DVD, unreleased songs that I've had for years that never never made it to records. Slip of the Tongue is 30th anniversary next year. So that's going to be another
crazy
bumper edition. So, yeah, so mixing the Whitesnake, you know, studio record. So after this next weekend, I think I start editing the new video with the director. So this is like, thank God my wife's in Africa on a safari with my son, camera safari, that is. Otherwise, you know, I don't have any time to get home.
Oh, well. And hey, real quick on the Slide It In reissue that you're going to do, are you going to put the re-record with Sykes or the original version? Which one's it going to be?
Both of them. And we're looking, we've sent out Lovin' or Stranger from the American mix and Lovin' or Stranger from the European mix. We've sent to some different mastering giants in the country to see who comes back with something that glitters. Just want it to be, once again, another fresh coat of paint. So all of those things will be available in one package.
That's great. I mean, so much great. I mean, Gambler is such one of my favorites on that record. The opening track, of course, it's just, there's so much great stuff on there. So I can't wait to see that get the deluxe treatment,
we've
too.
We've also found some live things that have never been put out there, other than like bootleg things that we've been able to tweak and make a little bit sweeter. So yeah, it's action packed, man. Action packed time.
Well, it's good to see that you're slowing down a little. It's good. It's good to see you're slowing down, David, in your older age. You know, I know it's good to see you taking it easy a little bit.
Yeah, I've just had 6 weeks of slowing down, and it's not for me.
Well, there's a lot going on, and you just heard it all from David Coverdale himself. And again, the tour with Foreigner, getting ready to go out there, and what a great package that is. Foreigner, Whitesnake, and Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience. It'll be a hit parade. Yeah, it'll be a hit parade for sure. So, listen, I appreciate all the time. Everybody check out Whitesnake, the Purple Tour. That CD is out there right now. And again, in addition to the Purple material. Yeah. CD and DVD, and as in addition to the Purple material, you also get the some Whitesnake songs included in there as well in the mix. So, David, it's always great to talk to you, my friend, and I look forward to seeing you out there on the road very soon.
Mutual, my best to you and yours, Edward, as always, and love to your listeners.
Take care, DC. Talk to you soon. Okay. Well, huge thanks to David Coverdale. Always fun, always entertaining to talk to DC. Look forward to all the great stuff he has coming up. Much appreciated. You guys, be sure to shop on Amazon. And when you do it, go to amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. Be sure to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Eddie Trunk. And check out my website, which is eddietrunk.com. All my upcoming appearances are there on the homepage, including Milwaukee this weekend, Tulsa next weekend. Have a look. Come out and see me. Come out and say hello. And I hope to see you out and about. Again, check all of those appearances, music news, merch store, brand new t-shirt coming, a Trunk Nation shirt coming to the merch store on eddietrunk.com. Have a look and check it out when you can. You guys have a great week. Katie Irizarry is the producer of the Eddie Trunk podcast, and I will see you next Thursday for another all new episode, free as always, at podcastone.com and iTunes.
True crime series, Murder Made Me Famous, is now on Podcast One. showcasing some of the most notorious crimes imaginable, including Scott Peterson, Jody Arias, Ted Bundy, and more. See how murder made them famous. New episodes starting every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts, as well as PodcastOne.com and the Podcast One app. And check out the new season of Murder Made Me Famous starting Saturday, April 14th on The Reels channel.